Hi, this is Larry London. Welcome to Border Crossings. Today, we're going to have a little bluegrass festival on the program. We would like to welcome the Cody Norris Show, which are actually a husband and wife team that have a bluegrass band that was named two times Entertainer of the Year, twice. So how did you achieve that wonderful honor? Welcome to the show, by the way.
Oh, thank you so much. So good to be here. I tell you, to receive any award, you know, in your profession is naturally a dream come true, but especially given the fact that that award from the Society for Preservation of Bluegrass Music, those awards are held each year in Nashville, Tennessee. And those are fan choice awards. So, you know, with knowing that the fans look on you in that regard, that's really, really special. And I don't know how you can ask for any more than that.
Mm-hmm. And you had so many other awards, including you had, I think it was your debut album in 2017, was the number one album of the year as well. It won an award for album of the year.
That in 2017 from the National Traditional Country Music Association, that won album of the year. Yep. And that was kind of, I think that was about the first award that we won, you know, that got us any notoriety. Mm-hmm. And from there, of course, I don't take any of them lightly. They're all extremely important to us. Mm-hmm. And I'm so humbled by the fact when we get them.
We're talking with Cody and Mary Rachel from the Cody Norris Show. And so let me ask you this. When you started the band and, you know, along comes this lovely, you know, singer, you weren't married when you started the band, were you?
No, we weren't. And actually, I met Mary Rachel for the first time, a TV show that I was working on in my teens. She was actually just a little kid then. And her dad did interiors for buses. And so one of my first buses, he did the interior in it. And man, I would have never thought in a million years that that little inquisitive, aggravating little girl would have grown up to be quite the lady. And she's something else. And she's the biggest part of my world, I'll tell you that.
Now, do you guys always wear those clothes? Come on, set the record straight. Every day, are you wearing the glitter and the rhinestones?
Change the oil in the bus.
Hey, if I could afford it, I would. I'd change the oil in the bus in this suit. No. I really would.
We do wear them at all shows, yeah. So if they come out to a show, they're going to see us in one of our rhinestone suits.
I didn't know if you got, you know, at nighttime you put on the rhinestone pajamas. I had no idea.
That would probably be very uncomfortable, yeah.
That's a great idea. There's some marketing in that.
That's it. Sell it, your merch. You know, your fans will buy that. The Cody Norris Show pajamas.
Yeah. Oh, I love it.
Now, so Cody, you started, playing bluegrass music at nine.
I did.
It was something about being in your uncle's car, an El Camino, that kind of influenced you.
When I was a little kid, my great uncle, Uncle Jack, who we just lost just a while back, but Uncle Jack had an El Camino, and we would travel all around everywhere, and it had an 8-track player in it, and bluegrass music all the time. And there was a group that I attended church with, and one of the ladies in that group, she played a mandolin. Of course, me just being a kid, that was the smallest one in the band. So I told my parents, you know, I wanted to learn to play that. Now, prior to that, Uncle Jack had instruments laying around the house. He didn't really play per se, but there's always a guitar, banjo, what, you know, ever laying around the house. And I'd kind of get them and make noise on them, so to speak. But I got real serious when I was about 9 or 10 years old. And, you know, believe it or not, right off the bat, I knew that someday I wanted to make a profession out of this.
Wow. And Mary Rachel, you were a classical violinist.
Pretty much. I mean, you can't tell that nowadays because I've kind of relaxed on a lot of those things. But I did get my start from playing in the strings program at school. And that was all classical music. And then from there, I kind of went on over to country, bluegrass, western, that kind of thing. And like Cody said, met him and got into the bluegrass kind of, a festival scene where you meet people, and then it just grew from there. So,
and for you, you won the Fiddler of the Year.
I did. Yes. I'm very honored about that. Yeah.
I'm so proud of her for that. That's 2 years in a row. She won that.
Oh, 2 years. That's fantastic. Congratulations to both of you on all those accolades.
Thank
That's
you very
fantastic.
Much.
Oh, sure. Sure. Where are you right now? Are you guys at home?
We're actually home today.
You're actually home. You got a break. It's interesting that, Tennessee's where you live?
Uh-huh.
No, where was bluegrass born? Was that Kentucky or where was?
Monroe, the man who created bluegrass music, was a Kentucky native. And they say that the birthplace of bluegrass is the Ryman Auditorium, because that's the first night that it was actually heard in the format as we know it today. Bill Monroe and the Bluegrass Boys with Lester Flatt, Earl Scruggs, Chubby Wise, and Cedric Rainwater.
Wow.
And so the birth of bluegrass was there. And
but the ironic part is where Bill Monroe was born and raised in Rosine, Kentucky.
That's where we met.
And so we always had plans of kind of getting married there, and things just didn't pan out. And we actually got married here at our house in Mountain City, Tennessee. But long story short, that's very ironic you asked that, because that's where we met. So
wow. Well, we had another bluegrass act on a few years ago, Ricky Skaggs and Kentucky Thunder. And of course they tour and whatnot. And I know you guys you're on tour now. You have a big tour schedule, which includes stops in Australia.
Oh yeah.
I've been working on that stuff today. Yeah.
So Australia, that's a big place for bluegrass music.
They love, actually, believe it or not, bluegrass music is accepted worldwide. And we just got back from Ireland, and it was more accepted there almost in a lot of places than the U.S. and so it's almost like it's you're superstars over there, you know, with mm-hmm. the bluegrass genre. And so anyways, we're going to Australia, and then we've got before COVID we had Norway and Germany, Austria booked, and you know, those just haven't came about yet, but we're working on getting those lined out. So mm-hmm.
What was the difference in the international audiences from an American bluegrass audience?
They're more inquisitive about background of the song and where it came from and who wrote it and why they wrote it and all the,
They're so attentive at the performance. I mean, they're glued to every single thing you're doing. And as an artist, I mean, that means a lot. And one thing that I'd noticed that was different, when you finish your song, you know, where in the States, before you even get it finished, everybody's, there would be a pause every time to kind of give the music time to die, and then the applause. Yeah. So that was just something different that we noticed. But we've made so many wonderful fans and some friends.
Some of them came to the Ryman show they lived in Atlanta, go to the show in Ireland, and they seen us in Ireland, had never seen us before, and now they're following us everywhere and came to the Ryman show just a month or two ago.
One of your fans is the person who turned me on to your music. One of your fans wrote me and said, Larry, you've got to have this act on your show. They're great. So yeah,
they actually, after you guys reached out, I thought our publicist, you know, may have lined it up. And so one thing after another, well, we've seen those people in town, and they said, have you been, you know, contacted by these people? And I was like, yeah. And I didn't know how they knew that. And they were like, well, actually we turned your name in. So I thought that was really cool. Yeah.
Cool. Yes. Well, that's what fans are all about, right? Does the Cody Norris Show fan club have a name?
Actually it does. The Rhinestone Roadies.
I love it. That's good. The Rhinestone Roadies. I love that. Okay, we're going to talk about the brand new album, Rhinestone Revival, and we're going to have them perform as well. Before I get to our first song, I wanted to ask you guys, could you define bluegrass music? Tell somebody who's never heard it, doesn't know what it is, because we're on the air in 100 countries around the world. How would you define bluegrass music?
To me, bluegrass music is American folk music, but in one of its purest forms. It's such a real deal. There's an emotion to the music derived from, you know, lonesome things, as far as even, you know, from blues music, spiritual elements from gospel music, and a really upbeat timing that if you have any rhythm in you whatsoever, bluegrass music will move you. You cannot sit still in any way, shape, or form. And I think from such an early age, that's really what just captivated me with it. There's no other music like it. And it is the only 100% American form of music. It's the one that was solely created here by Mr. Bill Monroe. And in a nutshell, there's no way that you can hear bluegrass music if you have any rhythm and it not move you.
We've got Cody with us, Mary Rachel. They are the Cody Norris Show. They're also the Cody Norris family. And so we're happy to have you guys on. Would you do a song for us?
Yeah. Sure, we'd love to. The first song we'd like to feature is our current single on Bluegrass Radio, and it's entitled I Call Her Sunshine.
Yep.
All right, here they are. It's the Cody Norris Show on Border Crossings.
Thank you. That's what she is to me. And I can't get her off my mind. Her face keeps haunting me. I can't get her off my mind. Her face keeps haunting me.
Border Crossings, the Cody Norris Show, and it's called what?
I Call Her Sunshine.
I Call Her Sunshine. So who wrote that song?
That actually came to us from a really good friend of mine. His name was Buckwheat Green, and he worked in a band back in the 70s called the Laurel Mountain Boys. The writer of the song was a man named Don Sowards. He wrote so many really good bluegrass songs. Actually had the pleasure of meeting Don Sowards' son, Mark, at a performance. He came out to one of our shows a while back. But I Call Her Sunshine, I really feel to date, has probably been our biggest hit record. It's our most requested song in a lot of places that we go. And
Josiah does a wonderful
job. Our banjo man sang the lead on that. Mary Rachel sings the tenor. I sing the baritone part. Very good, catchy instrumental elements to that song. And just the epitome of true love at first sight is the storyline of I Call Her Sunshine.
That's the first song we played on the Grand Ole Opry debut just a couple weeks ago, too.
Really? What was that like? Tell me about the Grand Ole Opry.
Gosh. Greatest night of our lives. Yeah. I mean, it was a month prior to that, we got the opportunity so graciously to get to perform at the Ryman Auditorium for the Springer Mountain Farms Bluegrass Nights at the Ryman Show with Rhonda Vincent, the Rage. That was a wonderful night. But during that show, as we ended up, we got two encores and standing ovations that night. Rhonda Vincent then comes out on the stage and gives us a formal invitation to perform on the Grand Ole Opry. And that took place on August the 9th. And collectively, we are all in agreement with the fact that was literally the best night of our life. Everyone was so wonderful. We received a standing ovation at the Grand Ole Opry. Such a warm, warm reception from all the folks who were there, from the opera stars to the staff, the management. Everybody treated us so well and invited us to come back at some point. It was just an absolutely wonderful time. And, that's a high you hope you never get over. And I'm still not coming down from it at all yet.
They call it Southern hospitality. And definitely, they know how to do it right there. You know, the Grand Ole Opry, anybody who's anybody in country music, bluegrass music has performed at the Grand Ole Opry. And so you guys, a coming of age a couple of weeks ago. So certainly happy to hear that in the Ryman Auditorium as well. It's the Cody Norris Show. They're joining us today from Tennessee, which is where they live. And so do you have like cattle? Do you have a ranch? Am I stereotyping you? What would be the typical Tennessee country life like?
Well, ours is not typical, so we can't.
No, our
life's
not typical in any way, shape, or form. Mountain City, Tennessee is one of the most beautiful places that you'll ever visit. I grew up here. I came from my family, tobacco farming family. Everybody, that was our number one industry growing up. So I grew up in all that. And, when I was about 13, 14 years old, started playing music with some regional bands and started traveling. Since that time, I've traveled to all the states, been all over the world, but there's nothing like the beauty of Northeast Tennessee's mountains and Mountain City, Tennessee. I encourage anybody listening today, come see us.
You got an extra room in your house? I'll be there next week.
We've got rental properties. We've got several
of them. Mary Rachel and I, we restored an old plantation-style house in our town from 1861. And this house gets used all year long, from weddings to social gatherings, everything in town. We have all kinds of big things here at Christmas time. Santa Claus even hangs out here at Christmas time. So that's really nice. And we have such a wonderful time with our home to our fans and our friends from all across the world. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful place of Mountain City, Tennessee.
So let's talk about the album Rhinestone Revival, which is, I think, your third album, if I'm not mistaken.
It's actually our
second off of Rebel.
It's our second from Rebel Records. Third one as the Cody Norris Show exists today.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so what makes this album different from the last two?
Well, I really feel this one.
A lot more rhinestones.
Yeah, Mary Rachel, a lot more rhinestones. This album, you always have some sort of a theme somewhere you're going with that. We didn't have nothing. We went in the studio completely, blinders off. We just wanted to see what happened. And Darren Aldridge produced this record. It's the second album Darren's produced for me. And I really feel there was some magic there. There's so many different elements to this record. There's happy songs, there's sad songs, there's ghostly songs, kind of songs that'll make you cry, songs that'll make you laugh. There's just everything, you know, every element from the slower things to the really in-your-face bluegrass, even some stuff that we hadn't done before. Otto Wood, the Bandit, a ballad-type song that I kind of explored some different guitar tunes. We used harmonica on it. A lot of different elements.
I'd say this is
record.
not completely different from what people may hear from us, but completely different maybe from what they were expecting from us. And so, if you need to go and listen to it, stream it by from our website, wherever you get your music. We also have it out in three different forms. We have CD, USB, and we have two different color vinyls. We have a black, the classic black, and a orange. So from what they see from the videos, the Charlie and Josiah and the band, they're wearing orange suits to complement the purple, and the vinyl looks just like them. So, yeah.
Wow. So is that your typical, that's the uniform you wear, or do you change color? I think I saw you in a red outfit.
I think I've got 13 of these.
Wow. And you designed them yourself?
I do. Actually, Mary Rachel, the last one that we got, and if folks want to check out our Grand Ole Opry and Ryman performance, we bought some new ones for that. And those were black with this gold lame fringe and big gold hibiscus flowers. And those were really something.
Wow. And the cowboy hat you got on is I've never seen anything like that. So did you have, I mean, is that your trademark? Is that what you did?
That is a custom made cowboy hat from Buckaroo Hatters in Covington, Tennessee. Michael Moore, a very good friend of mine. And if anybody likes the style of that cowboy hat, you can call right up there and tell him you want a Cody Norris cowboy hat, and he will fix you up with
Cody Norris special.
The Cody Norris special. There's been folks, you know, from all over the world. Actually, this hat's even got my picture inside of it. So anyway, be sure and check out my good friend Mike Moore that makes my hats. He's a wonderful man.
We've got the Cody Norris Show on the program today. Rhinestone Revival is the new album. You're going to do another song for us?
Yeah.
Yes, we are. This is actually probably my favorite song from the album that we'll do for you now. Mountain Rosalie.
Mountain Rosalie. Here we go. The Cody Norris Show. Get ready.
There's Sweet Marie from Tennessee and Louisiana too. Well, I know them all from A to Z, and I met this Molly too. Mountain sweetheart, Mount Rosalie, hillbilly baby, waiting there for me. Cheeks are red as roses and her lips are meant for me. Hillbilly baby, my Mountain Rosalie. Mama, full of dynamite. Sadie from Missouri, just fine as she can be. But none can satisfy me like my Mountain Rosalie. Mountain sweetheart, Mountain Rosalie. Hillbilly baby, waiting there for me. Cheeks are red as roses and her lips are meant for me. Hillbilly baby, my Mountain Rosalie. Back in the hills, my Mountain Rosalie. Her is dark and curly, and her eyes are big and blue. She's raised on corn and taters, and she loves her Mountain Dew. Mountain sweetheart, Mountain Rosalie, hillbilly baby, waiting there for me. Cheeks are red as roses, and her lips are meant for me. Hillbilly baby, my Mountain Rosalie.
Crossings, and that is the Cody Norris Show. Rhinestone Revival is the new album. He says it's his favorite song on the album. Why is that your favorite song?
It talks about all of his old flames.
Lee's actually a song. I carried this one around for a long, long time. The first band that I played in when I was just a kid, there was a guy in the band sang it, but he did it more in the original style of kind of a country crooner type way. And we kind of put the Cody North Show hot rod approach to it and beefed it up just a little bit.
It's got a good beat to it.
The fans, as soon three notes into this one, I don't know if it's the beat, the melody, what, but everywhere we go, boy, they're beating the seats loose on this one. So naturally, when I can, you know, get the fans all wound up, that's my ultimate goal at the end of the day. So that's why I like Mountain Rosalie. Mm.
So what is three different things that every popular bluegrass song must have? Give me three things that you got to have to make a popular bluegrass hit like you guys.
Well, some people might say a guitar, banjo, or fiddle.
But, yeah.
I
really feel that, you know, in order to make a good bluegrass song, you first off need a catchy melody. Mm-hmm. You have to have a storyline that people can relate to, because, you know, we hear a lot of songs in all genres that it's kind of a niche storyline, I guess you'd say. You have to really have an understanding of that one particular thing, or you might not understand it. Bluegrass is a little bit different than that. I feel you have to have a very strong storyline that people can, you know, people can understand. And one of the things that I feel most is of the utmost importance with any bluegrass song is the delivery and how it's presented. You can have the best song in the world, but if it's not presented and delivered properly, why, nobody tends to navigate to it. And I feel like that's why there's been a lot of, I refer to them as uncovered gems in bluegrass music. Maybe the artist who did something at one point in time, they didn't have the delivery, didn't have the approach that they needed on it to get it, you know, to the fans. And then somebody else comes along and records it, and bam, it's the biggest, you know, biggest hit in the world.
That probably happens in all genres, really.
I'm sure it probably
definitely
does.
Definitely in bluegrass.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you know, I always thought bluegrass was that up-tempo happy music, you know, it was just party music. And, you know, because country music, they say there's a lot of sad songs in country music, you know, it's, but bluegrass is opposite. But you said there were some sad songs.
It's got its fair share of sad, morbid songs, especially when you get back into the older stuff with the ballads and, you know,
we
a lot
love
of
that
songs
stuff.
Of death and tragedy and, you know, how all that came about. They're there. And, you know, accurate accounts. I feel that they're, you know, I feel that they're accurate accounts of, you know, things that happen. Of course, you know, prior to being able to write things down or, you know, put them in your tablet the way for it, you know, an event to be remembered was definitely from a song. So we have those two.
We try to keep everything happy and energetic and let people kind of take their mind off everything that's going on when they come to the show. So
Do you guys write your own music?
I write about 80% of our material. Yes, I do. Okay. And, pretty much everything that I write's from something that's happened to me somewhere along the line, whether it be a happy event or a sad one, but I usually put a happy spin on it. I'd much rather see somebody smile and have a better day than crying and have a not so good a day.
Now, do you run that by Mary Rachel before? Or, I mean, does she get any say? Who has the final word?
No, he has the final order. It's his band, but I do get the dibs of being able to hear the song for the first time. So that's the cool, you know.
And the good thing, she's usually getting to hear that over and over and over at 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning,
but
when I'm still sitting up writing on it.
If I'm annoyed by it, then most other people are going to be too. So that I will tell him, you need to change this or that, and so I don't know what to change it to. He needs to change some things, you know. So and then there's things you'll write something and it'd be perfect the first time. So
sometimes it happens that way.
Yes, it does. The Cody Norris Show, and the new album is Rhinestone Revival. Here on Border Crossings, we're talking to the husband wife team from the Cody Norris Show. How many guys are in the band total?
There's four of us total.
Four total, and one of them's a banjo.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's been with me for 6.5 years and one of the best banjoists in the history of bluegrass music. He's phenomenal, phenomenal singer. And our bass player is Charlie Longman. Charlie's been with us about 3.5 years.
Wow. So there's no drummer in the ranks. No.
I wish there was.
I love
percussion.
Love
percussion.
All right. You going to do another song for us?
Yes, we are. And this is actually not from Rhinestone Revival, but I wanted to include this because this is a song that really got the ball rolling for Cody Norris so many years ago. And I put a bluegrass spin on an old country tongue twister, so to speak. And it falls right in line because I'm an auctioneer, and this is a song that Leroy Van Dyke recorded many, many years ago. I kind of retitled it because we hot-rodded it up a little bit. But I recorded this as the Bluegrass Auctioneer, and that's in that award-winning album from 2017 that you were talking about earlier. So I hope everybody enjoys it. Here we go with The Auctioneer.
The Auctioneer, Cody Norris Show, here on Border Crossings.
Hey, well, all right, sir, here we go there. What do you want to give for it? There was a boy in Arkansas, and he wouldn't listen to his ma. She told him that he should go to school. He'd sneak away in the afternoon, take a little walk, and pretty soon he'd find him at the local auction barn. From that day on, he did his best. Y'all could see he didn't just practice the calling bills both night and day. Then his papa found him behind the barn and working up an awful storm, trying to imitate the auctioneer. Pap said, son, we just can't stand to have a mediocre man set a thing that all should use an arrogant name. So I'm gonna send you off to auction school, and you be nobody's fool. You'll take your place among the men. 35 for the middle and a foot on the foot, but you want to make a foot of it along for the all, you want to hear a bit of foot on the bill. 40 on the middle and a foot of it, but you want to make a foot of it, a bit of 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 foot. Sound of their hearts with such a happy cheer. And his face went out from shore to shore, and he had all he could do and more. He had to buy a plane to get around. Well, now he's a top in all the land. Let's go give that man a hand. He's the best of all the auctioneers. All right, boys, let's sell that hog, sell that plane. All right, here we go now. All right. All right, on a fiddle and a fiddle on a fiddle, but he gets to make a fiddle and a fiddle. All you a fiddle, who's a fiddle, fiddle on a fiddle. But then I want some more. Here come a lot of it. 29 in. What do you want to get? Four, I got 20. 35, 7, and a half. And going once, and going twice. Sold it to you. $35.
Border Crossings, and that's the Auctioneer. The Cody Norris Show, and I'll tell you what, you know, I'm tired just listening. Can you give me some Auctioneer? Can you do a little Auctioneer, like you're auctioning off something?
Dad, how many dollars on it? What do you want to give for it? Who'll give it? 25, a little bit now, 30, yep. 30, a little bit now, where? How about that? All right.
Oh, that's great. Wow. And do you stand next to him and go, oh, yeah, whoa, hey. What?
Yep. I want all the money to come in as we can get, yeah.
That's it. You spin the bingo wheel, the little balls.
One in there somebody's not bidding on just to.
We've got Cody Norris, and we've got the lovely Mary Rachel, who's with us as well. Any children in the house yet?
We have 6 dogs, 5 of which are small and travel actually on the tour bus with us most shows. And they're a full little family. And then we adopted one we found a couple years ago on the at the lumber yard here in town. And he's a big husky collie mix. So that's the only kids we have.
That's all we have right now.
Yeah, that's a lot. And of course, you do over 100 shows a year every year. So that takes you out on the road quite a bit.
And, you know, we've just gotten used to that, and we love it. But still, yeah, we get to be home, you know, pretty much about 3 days a week. and very involved in our community to try to, you know, preserve things here that we enjoy. And actually just hosted an event here over the weekend. Mary Rachel did the Mountain City Fiddlers Convention. And I'm also a county commissioner here in my county of Johnson County, Tennessee. So wow. Find out. That
we don't even think about it, we just
roll with it. But I'm very invested in the small town way of life. Yeah. I love that so much. And when we're out there on the road where we are, I'm driving and flying with everything in me to get back to Johnson County and our good small town lifestyle.
Now, when you're talking about small towns, I want to translate that into audiences. Now, you guys play festivals, 50,000 people at a time. You also play small crowds. You know, I mean, you may do a show, you know, early on, certainly you did 200-300 people in a bar. So sure. Do you have a preference as to a large or a small crowd that you'd like to perform?
To be honest, I get nervous. I get more nervous in front of a smaller crowd than I do a bigger crowd because, you know, they're everyone, you know, directly paying attention to you. In a bigger crowd, there's a lot going on. But I think the smaller crowds always tend to be more they buy more merch. They know more about your songs and all that kind of thing. So I feel like the smaller crowds, in my opinion, is the way to go. But I love playing for the bigger ones too. Because
oh, of course,
you know, it's
the
awesome
energy
to see.
Level. You yeah. can't make that energy and that adrenaline yeah. pumping through you. You know,
it's amazing to see that many people joining in for bluegrass. You know, so.
Since we just did the auction here, I got a real quick funny story for you in regard to smaller crowds. I've never had this happen to me in my life. I'm always the guy. You ask me, I've always got something to say. There's no scenario I've ever been put in my life that I didn't have something to say, except once. When I went to auctioneer school, I went in Bowling Green, Kentucky, in Mary Rachel's hometown. And the first day that I had to get up and do a presentation, there was, I think I might have been in front of maybe 25, maybe 30 people, and I froze. Never had that happen before, hadn't had it happen since, but it scared me to death. And wow. I couldn't say anything. And
wish I'd have been there.
It happens to the best of us. But in regard, you know, we play all types of crowds to all kinds of people throughout the world. And one thing that's usually common, though, with people who come out to see a show like ours, they're there to be entertained. And we're going to do our very best to do that each and every night. And the ultimate goal and mission statement of the Cody North Show when you come to a Cody North performance is to make a memory. That's what we want to do. And I hope people will carry us around in their hip pocket for a long time.
Well, you guys, definitely you love what you're doing. And that's very important because there's a lot of people who do it but don't love it quite to the extent you guys do. You're passionate about it and you have fun. That's the whole thing is you guys truly like each other as a band and you have fun.
Oh, yes. And we've all said collectively, and I've said this since the get-go, when I get to where it's not fun anymore, I'll need to be doing something else. But I don't foresee ever getting to that point because I love it. I love entertaining people, love making them have, hopefully, a better day once they leave our show than what they were having when they got there.
And you had mentioned, you know, that you got stuck for words when you had a small crowd. Do you ever get stuck for writing songs? Writer's block? Does that ever happen? And how do you get yourself past that?
I'll just stop on that piece of material and roll on to something else. I've literally probably got 75 to 100 half-written songs.
It seems like if we're trying to get an album, you know, kind of done, we'll ask around. We need material, and people send us material, and it just doesn't fit what we need or want. And then he'll end up saying, well, I want a fast song or a three-quarter timing song or a really, really slow song. And then he just comes up with something.
So. And I write, believe it or not, I write extremely well under pressure. Like when I have a deadline, we've got a session coming on. Actually, from our the one album before Rhinestone Revival from the All Suited Up record, Love Bug, the song that was on that is probably the biggest hit from that record. I finished that one up in the studio. We recorded it, sent it to the record label, and didn't even have a title for it. The executive of the record company, he titled it. And so, you know, you never know how that's going to transpire sometimes. I still do a lot of my own bus driving, and I do that for a reason. That gives me an opportunity to sit up there, you know, sometimes long hours, and kind of I don't like somebody to ride with me most of the time and be yapping in my ear. So I sit up there and kind of, you know, that gives me time to put the songs together. And when I holler back there and roust them out of bed, they know to bring a pen and a paper guitar. We got to work something out.
Where's the most unusual place you ever got inspiration for a song?
I don't even know.
I wouldn't even know the answer to that.
You don't, huh? Well, I figured driving a bus. That's an interesting place. Well,
definitely.
In the bathroom.
Yeah, yeah, I hear that a lot. The bathroom, waking up, my dream. The song came in a dream.
Yeah. And, you know, lots of times, and this is literally, I've been woke up many, many times. This, you know, overwhelmed by something. And, you know, hurry up, grab a pen and a piece of paper and, you know, 10 minutes, crank one out. Then there's other times you get a really good hook line sometime midday, think, I'll hop in here and write this in a few minutes. And you're still sitting there at 3 o'clock the next morning, just hung up on it.
Yeah.
And one word, I've been hung up. You just need that one word and, you know, been hung up on that for so, so long. And
that's why we have all these dictionaries behind.
That's right. Sources. Yeah.
It's the Cody Norris Show joining us today. What a pleasure to have you guys on. And before you go, I just want to let you know, we not only have 100 countries tuned in and a worldwide audience, but we also have the U.S. military. Is there any message you'd like to give to the military or to the worldwide audience that are meeting you for the first time?
Well, certainly to our U.S. military, we're such an advocate of those folks for laying it all on the line to preserve our freedoms and that we can do the things that we love to do. And you have the utmost appreciation from Cody Norris. I want you to know that. And from our entire group, I couldn't imagine being in your shoes at some times. And I am so, so thankful that you do what you do. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully you get to do some USO tour shows.
I would love that. That would be great. That would be great. Yeah.
Now, where can people go to get the album, to find out your tour dates, to find out about the Cody Norris Show? Where do they go?
TheCodyNorrisShow.com.
And remember, friends, that's Cody with a K. Anything else would be Sody, and I wouldn't want you to be confused.
Yep.
Thank you, guys, Mary Rachel and Cody. Thank you for doing this for us. We really appreciate it. It's a pleasure to talk to you guys. You guys sound great. The new album is called Rhinestone Revival, The Cody Norris Show. Get yourself a copy. Thanks for watching. This is Border Crossings on VOA TV.